I have a little health issues, and sometimes when I preach, I get too excited, and then my heart pounds too fast. And so it is possible, and I'm not joking with you, that I may not be able to finish the sermon. But so if I can, Ben, just come up and read the rest of my sermon. It can be read. It's written out pretty much word for word. Okay. So, in the seminary, we talk about more advanced stuff that we learn beyond what you learn at church. However, more often than not, we begin the advanced stuff by going back to the basics, to strengthening the foundations. And so this is what I'm doing this morning. And when we talk about missions, can I have the slides up, please? Yeah. When we talk about missions, at the center of the mission is the gospel, the good news that God wants everyone to hear. And God wants us to take this good news across the world so that everyone can hear. Now, in order to fulfill this great commission, obviously, we need to know what the good news is. And for all of you who have been baptized, you should know what the good news, what the gospel is, because that's what you heard and that's what you believed and accepted. Recently, in the past few years, there has been a series of films actually came out called American Gospel, in which a number of pastors and scholars trying to refute a few wrong ideas about the gospel that they believe are prevalent in America among the American Christians. So that gave me the idea for the sermon this morning. I want to talk to you about what the gospel is. But don't worry, I know some of you have already watched this film, and I'm not repeating what this film is saying. In fact, I have a little surprise at the end. But before we begin, let us bow once again in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for giving us this great news in which we all have believed and we all have accepted joyfully. And now you have called us to spread it all around the world so that everyone can hear it and many will be saved because of it. And Father, help us this morning to understand what this good news is in its fullest extent so that we will be able to enjoy in it and as well as share with those around us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for our sins and rose again, eternally triumphant over his enemies, so that there is now no condemnation for those who believe, but only everlasting joy. That is the gospel. This is the definition of the gospel put out by a pretty well-known pastor. I want to ask you what you think about it. Is this a pretty decent definition? Now, I know some of you might not like the term everlasting joy, so let's give him the benefit of the doubt, and let's say what he meant by it is eternal life. With this definition, I want to invite you to give a grade. How many of you find this definition pretty decent, and we'll give it a B or an above grade. Raise your hand. Okay, that's at least half of you. How many of you think this is, you know, a lot more needs to be said about this, and so you will give a C or below? Okay, none of you. How many of you don't know what the gospel is? Okay, it's fine. Okay, all of you. All right, so this is the definition put out by John Piper, and I'm glad most of you give a high grade for this, for him. And so what he put out represents what most people would say the gospel is, has all the major elements. In fact, when we talk about the gospel, people often mention four essential elements, and that is, you know, we talk about God, that God exists and God is the creator, God created all of us. And we talk about sin, that we, all of us, man, even though we were created by God, we sin against God. And we are eternally separated from him. And number three, we talk about Jesus. It is Jesus' death on the cross so that we can be saved. And then number four, we say faith, because it is not by works. It's just by believing, by accepting, by trusting Jesus that our sins will be forgiven and we will receive eternal life. In fact, these four are, some of you my age might know this thing called the four spiritual laws. Just curious, how many of you have not heard of the four spiritual laws? Anyone? Not. Okay, so yeah, some of you have actually not. But when I was growing up, this was very popular, and it was very influential. And so there's this little booklet by Campus Crusade, Bill Bright, and he started this movement of telling people about what the gospel is based on, these four points. And so basically, the good news that we come to believe is that Jesus paid for our sins so that we don't have to, and we don't have to, we just need to believe in him, and we can get the benefit of his forgiveness and eternal salvation. And this was the gospel that was taught to me, and this is a gospel I believe for the longest time, until I started to read the Bible carefully and thoroughly. One of the benefits of seminary studies, especially doctoral studies, is that it taught me to read the Bible carefully and take everything that it says, every word, into consideration. Most of us actually read the Bible through a polarized lens. That is, we only let some of the wavelengths through to us. The wavelengths, the verses in the Bible that agrees with our theology. And those that do not agree with our theology, we actually put it aside. We ignore them. We explain them away. So most of us only read part of the Bible. And the worst thing about this is that we actually don't know that we are doing that. We think that we are reading the Bible carefully, whereas we are not. And the other benefits of seminary study is that it forces us to consider carefully, consider seriously what other people are saying, because no matter how hard we try, we always have our own blind spots, and we can never remove all our blind spots. So we need other people to tell us where our blind spots are. And that way, we can understand the Bible more holistically and with better balance. So back to this definition. The problem with this definition is that the gospel as presented here gives no good news for the present. The only good news is for the future. After you die, you have eternal life. But for the present, there is no good news. You look at that statement. What good news is it for people who are living today? And that is the gospel we have been spreading around the world. And that's part of the reason why people are not so eager to accept this gospel. People say, well, that's all nice and dandy. I will accept it when I'm about to die, when my faith, when my health starts to fail, when I'm old and retired, then I will come and believe this. Because there is no benefit for believing it early. Tell me, why should I believe the gospel early? Now, you know, the argument that we tell them is that you don't know when you're going to die, right? You might get in an accident. You might have a heart attack. And then you die that instant. You have no chance for salvation. And you get eternal damnation. Well, that's a good argument. But the problem is, you know, we people like to take our chances. Just like in California, we know the big one is coming. You know, the big earthquake is coming. We all believe that one day it will hit us. But how many of you actually, how many of you homeowners actually carry earthquake insurance? You know, in California, only 10%. So one out of 10 people actually do something about it. And that's what happens if we only tell them that the good news is, you know, is eternal life. That the only good news that God has for you is that you will not go to hell. People say, well, I'll take my chances. Because if I believe now, there's a lot of pain in my life. I cannot sleep on Sunday mornings. I have to listen to an old man preaching every Sunday. So boring. I cannot watch football on Sundays. I cannot go out party with my friends. There's a lot of reason for not believing. But we give them no good reason other than when you die, you go to heaven for believing. And so why, I mean, do you see why, you know, churches are filled with old people nowadays? You know, you guys are young people, most of you are here because your parents forced you to be here, right? If you have your choice, you'll not be here either. Because we give them no good news for the present. And so that's, I want to ask you, why are you here today? For all of you who have chosen to believe, why do you believe today other than, you know, eternal life? Right? Maybe you don't like to take chances. You don't like to gamble in Las Vegas. You people probably wouldn't, you know, you don't want to lose money. So you want to play it safe. That's why you're here. Or are there other reasons why you come to church every Sunday? And there is, right? And so why is it not part of the good news that we tell others about it? Right? Is this gospel here all that God has to offer to mankind? Now, I want to be quick to clarify that this is a very important part of the gospel. This is not wrong. This is absolutely correct. In fact, this is the core of the gospel. This is the most essential part of the gospel. So I'm not disparaging this statement, but what I'm saying is, what I'm asking is this all that God has to offer mankind? Right? So, for that, let's go turn to the Bible. What you have seen here is called the narrow definition of the Bible. How come this is not working too well? Okay, thank you. So the definition I've shown you, the gospel we have been preaching to the world is a narrow definition of the gospel. And this morning, I want to share with you a broader definition of the gospel. And when we look at the broader definition of the gospel, we take the gospel, the word gospel, to mean good news, which is what it means. And sometimes in the Bible, it is translated as good news. And every good news that God wants to give to mankind is part of the gospel. Eternal life, forgiveness of sins, is an essential part. It's a core. Yes, I do not disagree with that. But there is more that God wants us to enjoy. God wants mankind to enjoy in addition to this. And so let us look at the Bible. And since we have been going through the book of Mark, let me take you to Mark. So in the beginning, when Mark describes Jesus started his ministry, he tells us that Jesus started off preaching the gospel. When Jesus came out to start his ministry, Jesus came out to preach the gospel. Mark 1:14-15 tells us, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So you see here, Jesus started proclaiming the good news of God, the gospel of God. And what did he say? Jesus didn't say, believe in me so you will have eternal life. Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God is near. It's almost here. It's around the corner. That is the good news. Now, if we were to look at the other Gospels, I forgot to advance this. Okay, I forgot to say. So, the good news here is the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. And so he wants people to repent. And that word repent is poorly translated. It just means turn around. Like, you know, like you go to Costco, right? So often you see some salesman trying to sell you a new phone plan or solar panels, right? And then they were like standing there and trying to tell you, hey, do you have solar? Do you have solar? Do you need a new phone? What carrier do you have, right? And then we just walk by them, right? We ignore most of the time we ignore them. And so to repent there means, hey, come back. Turn around, come back. Come to me. I have good news for you. Okay? I have good news for you. So that's what Jesus is saying. As he came out to preach, people walking by him, ignoring him, and Jesus said, turn around, come on. Listen to this good news. And we see it in Matthew too. In Matthew, from the time Jesus began to preach, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. That is, proclaiming the good news about the kingdom. In Luke, same thing. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that's why I was sent. As you can see, Jesus said, I must proclaim the good news to other areas. And this implies he has been proclaiming the good news already from the beginning. So the good news is, you guys have water? Is that the kingdom of God is coming. Okay. Now you might be wondering, why is it that the kingdom of God coming is a good news for us? There are many reasons. And for the sake of time, I will only give you 7. It's a good news. I'm just giving you 7 points. There are more. Number one, in this kingdom, there's a good king. He's a righteous king. He's just, he's merciful, he's loving, he's gracious and almighty. There's no king on this earth can compare with him. No matter whether you prefer Trump or Biden or any other kings in this, any other presidents in this world, there's no one who can compare with our king, with the king of this kingdom. Throughout history, people have feared to live under a tyrant who robs and oppresses the citizens for his own gain. But this kingdom has a good king. Number two, the king wants to establish a good relationship, next slide please, with his people. The king wants to establish a good relationship with people. Next point. The king loves everyone. Next point. The king is willing to accept everyone who confesses sins and believe in his son. And this is the core gospel, the core of the gospel. And number three, next point. The king wants to be with his people. Number three, in this kingdom, you get to hear eternal truth and the word of life. You get to know what the truth is. This world has been deceiving us, telling us lies. But in this kingdom, we get to hear what the truth is. Number four, in this kingdom, citizens are being transformed and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Previously, we are sinners. We can only sin. We're selfish. We are dishonest, etc. But once we become a Christian, we are transformed. And every day, we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit to lead a life that is pleasing to God. Number five, the citizens of this kingdom enjoys a loving community. This is God's will for us, is not to live on an island, but to live in a community of believers. Number six, the king and the citizens of this kingdom loves the world. This is our basis for missions. God wants us. God loves the whole world. God wants us to share this good news for the world. And number seven, the citizens of this kingdom have eternal life and hope. So, as you can see, this kingdom, this gospel is a wonderful news. It's more than just the core that we have been telling people. There's a lot more to it that God wants us to enjoy. And this morning, one of the songs, the first song, it says, Jesus brought heaven down. And that's exactly what the gospel is. Heaven on earth. And so there are a few implications of this. Number one, the next slide. Have you understood? And I, by the way, prosperity gospel is not a true gospel. Next slide. Number one, have you understood and enjoyed? Have been enjoying the full benefit of the gospel. Number two, next slide, please. This gospel has our part to play. Are you playing the part that God wants us to play to fulfill this gospel? Previous slide. Don't move yet. So item four, we have to be transformed. We have to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit every day. We have to enjoy, we have to build a loving community in the church. And then we have to share the gospel with others. And then next slide. Have we told others about these good news? Or are we just telling people, you're a sinner, repent. You have sinned. That's what we have been saying. The gospel is that you are a sinner. How is it that you are a sinner, a gospel? That's not part of the good news. That's a bad news. Right? Of course, we have to tell people that you have sinned so that they can accept. But let us not just go out and only tell the bad news, only tell part of the gospel. Let's tell the full gospel. Next slide, please. Let me speed it up so I can finish quickly and not get too excited about the gospel. So wonderful, good news. My heart pumping real fast. So today, a very simple message is that all that God has to offer. And I hope you understand that it's not just the core gospel that we've been preaching. There's a lot more to it that we need to enjoy and share with others. And next slide. So as I was watching the American Gospel, it was so ironic to me that these people who are disparaging other people, they actually have a very, very narrow view of the gospel. That they themselves don't know the full picture of what God wants to do on this earth. And they just want people to understand that they are sinners and that they're only Jesus Christ can save them. Yes, I believe that too. But God wants to do a lot more than just make people understand that point. Next slide, please. And so when Jesus went up to heaven, or right before he went, he gave this great commission in which we are all very familiar. He wanted us to go make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, of Son, and Holy Spirit. What Jesus is doing here is establishing his kingdom on earth. That is what this is doing. This is not just to share the gospel, to do missions, but this command is to get us to participate in God's plan of building his kingdom on earth. And has his kingdom arrived? Has God's kingdom arrived? Jesus 2,000 years ago said, the kingdom is near. Has it come yet? Yes, it has come. On Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, that's when God's kingdom, during this phase of fulfillment, has come. So the church is where God's kingdom resides primarily today. Kingdom means where a person's power reigns. And the church is where God's power reigns because all of us believe in God. All of us submit to God's reign, God's authority. So today, the kingdom of God is fulfilled in the church. It's you and me. We are the church. We are enjoying the gospel, and we have to tell people about the good news. We have to establish this place as God has envisioned, a loving community. So that when people come in here, they say, well, this is different from outside. This place is nice. People accept me as I am. People are forgiving. People are loving, are kind. They're not selfish. They're not self-serving. They are considerate, et cetera, et cetera. I have good friends here. We can have a good time together. We can watch football together. We can play video games together. We can play basketball together. We can eat. We can celebrate, enjoy life together. This is a wonderful place. Because people have been transformed here. They are no longer cheaters, liars. They are no longer vicious people, bad people, angry people. But they are wonderful people. And so that's God's vision for the gospel. Will you pray for me? Father, thank you for the wonderful news that you've given us. I pray that today's message is clear to everyone, that everyone's willingly will accept and fulfill the gospel that you want the whole world to know and share it with people around us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.